Luke 15:32, and I'm reading out of NKJV. So it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. You guys may be seated. Lost and found practices have a rich historical tapestry tracing back to ancient civilization, where designated communal spaces were established for lost items. In the medieval period, as trade and pilgrimage grew, localized efforts involving town criers and local authorities evolved to manage lost possessions. The 19th century marked a transformative period with the rise of cities, leading to an establishment of formal lost and found offices, notably the expansion of transportation networks, especially railways, which played a pivotal role. Railways faced with the challenge of handling an increasing volume of lost items from travelers pioneered dedicated lost and found services. By the 20th century, the concept of lost and found offices became institutionalized in various public spaces. Theaters, hotels, and department stores recognized the need for centralized services, efficiently handling the growing instance of lost property. The advent of the digital age brought a paradigm shift in lost and found services. Online platforms emerged, providing individuals with a more streamlined process to report and search for lost items. Mobile apps and centralized databases revolutionized the landscape, offering a sophisticated and interconnected approach to reconnecting people with their lost belongings. We've all lost something in our lives. I remember when I was younger, I lost my Game Boy Advance at the airport, and I was devastated. But as I grew older, I picked up fishing as a hobby, and over the times, I lost countless number of lures. And anybody who fishes knows how bad that is. You know, lures are not cheap. I would go fishing, I would tie a knot, I say, this is not coming loose, and you guessed it. My next cast, it goes across the lake. And I say, there goes my $15 lure. I'm not getting it back. But sometimes you do get it back, and there's not a better feeling in the world when you do. You know, too bad there's not some sort of lost and found service out in the middle of the woods for fishing equipment. Now, unlike the woods, the church can and needs to have a lost and found service. Not for when your children lose their toys or you forget your water bottle after service. The church needs to have a lost and found service for when the prodigals return to church so we can see them restored. The definition of the word prodigal means to be wasteful, and we can all fall into that category if we are wasteful with how God wants us to treat the prodigals. The parable of the lost son is a very popular parable that many of us know and have been taught on as early as Sunday school. In this parable, we read about a father that has two sons, a younger son and an older son. The younger son was tired of living at his father's house, so he demanded for his inheritance early on, and to his request, he receives it. He decides to journey off to a far country, and while in that country, he blows his entire inheritance on prostitutes and wasteful living. It isn't until famine hits the land, and the younger son goes and joins a citizen of that country. He's sent to the fields to work with pigs. We see that the son was so hungry that he would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the swine eat. The Bible says in Luke 15:17, he came to himself. He was questioning himself, why did I leave the father's house? He realized he was by himself and he had nothing to eat, while his father's hired servants have enough bread to spare and a spot at the father's house. This is when he decided to return to his father's house. While the son is returning, the father sees him off in the distance and takes off running towards him. The father falls on his neck and kisses him. The younger son repents of his sins and tells the father that he is no longer worthy to be called his son, but the father does not care. The father tells his servants to bring out the best robe, to put a ring on his hand, to put sandals on his feet, and to kill the fatted calf so they can eat and celebrate his return. Now when the older son returned to the house from the field, he hears music and dancing, so he asks one of the servants what's happening. The servant lets him know that his brother returned, but he's so upset that he refuses to celebrate. The father goes to try to reason with the older brother, but we find out that he's upset because he never did what his younger brother did. He never left the father's house, but he never got celebrated for staying. The father tells him that all I have is yours, you just had to ask for it. The father tells him, we're celebrating because your brother was dead, but is alive again. He was lost and is found. Ultimately, this parable tells us about a story about the love that God has for us when we repent of our sins. As Jesus explains this parable, we see the father represents God, the prodigal son represents the sinner, And the other son represents the Pharisees, religious people, and they represent us, the church. The point I'd like to emphasize is that when prodigals return, we need to be ready for them and embrace them with open arms. Just like the prodigal son, many of them feel that they are not worthy to go back to the Father because of the mistakes they made. But we as the church, we need to make them feel the opposite. We need to make them feel that they are worthy. We need to roll out the red carpet. We need to rejoice and celebrate with them when they return. We cannot have the mindset of the brother where we get bitter, we get upset and jealous that they're being celebrated and treated better than us. We will not see the church grow. We will not see new disciples. We will not see the prodigals return with that kind of mindset. Many of us here have never left the Father's house. We may have had a bumpy road along the way, but we still never left. We never lost our apostolic inheritance, and we should understand that since we left, it's a blessing to be at the Father's house. The greatest reward is to be close to the Father. I believe when we make it to heaven, that is where God will honor and recognize us for not leaving. If someone wants to treat the prodigals a little better than us, if someone wants to celebrate with them, so what, it shouldn't and does not matter. In fact, we need to treat them better than how we want to be treated. If God's heart is to treat the prodigals better than us, if God wants to celebrate them, our hearts should want to reflect what God's heart is reflecting. I want everybody to think of somebody who left the church. And I want to ask you, if that person returned today and received all this attention, how would you feel? You know, of course, we'd be excited that they returned, but would you feel bitter? Would you be a little jealous and upset that they're receiving this attention? I know I would. And if you're honest with yourself, you would agree. It's a normal feeling, and that's our human flesh. But we're told to not live by our flesh. We're told to live and walk in the Spirit. We need to have the mindset of the Father. Just like the Father did in the text, we need to run to them with open arms and celebrate the return. We see in the text that the prodigal son said he didn't feel worthy to come back. And that's how many of them feel. But we need to encourage them and rejoice with them. They don't want to hear, "I told you so." They already know they messed up. And maybe we don't even say anything, but if our actions and unwillingness to bring them close, it often speaks louder than words. The first thing they want to hear is, "I missed you, how are you, and welcome home." If we want to see revival happen, we must not act like the older brother. Because if we do, we are just as wasteful as the younger son. We need to make sure our spirit is right and our arms are open to anybody who wants to serve the Lord. To every 11th hour laborer, to every returning prodigal, our heart must be the same as God's. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let's end tonight with where we began, with the words of the Father to the brother. Luke 15:32. "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." God would say to us that it's right to have a disposition of celebration, and we need to be glad when he begins the work of restoration. When the lost become found, it's not only meant for heaven to celebrate, but it's meant for us to celebrate as well. So to everybody in the church, to everybody that's never left, we need to be willing to forgive what God forgives and celebrate what God celebrates. I'll finish with this. Let me offer a word to every returning prodigal. This church is in alignment with God. Our heart is the same as God's heart, and we're ready for your return with open arms. Amen.